So Ed asked me to
Turn these off.
Share my testimony and just what the Lord did over this past week with you guys. And so I'm going to do that. And forgive me if this is kind of scattered. I'm still trying to figure out like the best way to share everything. And yeah, just where to start, really. So I guess I'll just start with being at the farm. And it was Sunday was the day that we were going to leave the farm after the wedding. And me and Ed, like all week, had been trying to do a God encounter together. But it just, I kept getting interrupted. Like stuff was just, you know, obviously the wedding was going on. So it was really busy. There's a lot of moving parts. And so just never really found a good time. And then the last day he was in the basement of the Hope House and he was blasting worship music and he was playing, what's that song? Seek First the Kingdom. I think is it Elevation Worship? But when I heard it, like, playing, because it was so loud, and we had already planned to like have a time together, like in the basement. So I knew he was down there. And but when I heard that song, it just like hit something in me, and I was like, "Dang, that's exactly what I." It was just touching something in my spirit, like seeking first the kingdom. Anyways, and so went down there, and we were just listening to the song for a while, just trying to get into like a heart posture of just worship and like putting my focus on the Lord. And we kind of started to do like the ABCs a little bit, and then at one point Ed stood up and he was like, he's going like this, and he's just like, "Troy, I just gotta be obedient." And then that's all he said. He just stopped talking, and I'm like, "Okay, like, all right, you gotta," I'm thinking like, "be obedient by doing this, like, you don't need to tell me that, man, like, go for it." And then, so anyways, I'm just trying to like hear from God for myself, and my thoughts were like pretty scattered, but like the one thought I just kept coming back to was like, "I think I'm supposed to fast." And I'd already been kind of thinking about it because earlier in the week I was talking to Scott. Hello, Scott, if you're watching this, about the cleanse that he was doing, the master cleanse. And as he was sharing it, there's just something inside me that was like, "I think I need to do that." And then I told Siggy about it, like, "I think I want to do this cleanse or this fast." And I was like, honestly, I'd kind of want it for like physical reasons, but also like spiritual reasons too. And so anyways, I wasn't sure if I was just like, you know, if it was just my own thoughts or if it was God or what. And so anyways, that was the only thought I had. I was like, "Man, I think I'm supposed to fast." And then Ed sits down next to me and he turns to me and he's like, "What are you getting? Like, are you hearing anything? Is he talking to you?" And I was like, "The only thing I'm getting is I think I'm just supposed to fast." And then, you know, he just lost it, started laughing, crying, all, you know, all the good stuff. And he was like, that's exactly what I was getting to. Like, that's what I feel. And he was like, "And I was about to tell you that, but then the Lord told me to shut up. And he was gonna say it to you." And so I just thought that was really cool. And immediately I was like, "Dang, okay, here we go." Like, felt a direct invitation from the Father to fast. And so, I don't know, I think that's just like really cool and really exciting. And it like created this anticipation in me, I guess, of like, you know, what are you gonna do, Lord? Like, you want this to happen. There's something that you want to do. And so, anyways, starting the fast, the first few days were actually like pretty easy as far as just like being hungry and everything. I just felt like a ton of grace on it. And honestly, that concoction like tasted pretty bomb the first few days. And then I got so sick of it, dude. But anyways, I think Wednesday was the first day that I really felt like a shift in the spirit. Or I just felt more like sensitive and my heart was like becoming tenderized. And that was also the first day that it became like pretty tough in the natural, like to, you know, not eat. And so, so Wednesday, like late morning, I came in this room to have a God encounter and I was just like connecting with the Lord. and definitely just like felt his heart. And then I just, he took me into this vision, and it was this memory from when I was like 10 or so. And before I get into that, I just want to like paint the picture and like put some context around it. So when I was a kid, when I was like eight, nine, ten, in that age range, there was two significant memories, two significant times that my dad like really laid hands on me and like really like whooped me. And the first time, I was 8 or 9, and my best friend was over, and I won't like go all into it, but my dad just like beat the crap out of me in front of my friend, and it was like super traumatizing. But then a few hours after that, he like came and like hugged me and just wrapped me up in his arms and was like sobbing and was just apologizing to me. And he was like, "I promise I'll never hurt you again. Like, I promise I'll never do that again." And I remember I was like crying too, and I forgave him, and I believed him. And then fast forward like a year later, when I was, you know, 9 or 10, and my brother had his friend, his best friend, over. And so it was me, my brother, and his best friend at our house. And my dad would always take a nap in the middle of the day in the living room, which was always like kind of annoying to me. So I was like, "Dude, just go to your bedroom," like, because then everybody's got to be quiet. But anyways, so my dad's taking a nap, and we're all, you know, we're supposed to be quiet because we don't want to like wake him up and upset him. And so we're all making noise, and then he like woke up and just like snapped and came right for me. Even though we were all making noise, he came and grabbed me, and he like grabbed me by the neck, and he just started kicking me as hard as he could, and just like ripped me and drug me outside. Just opened the door, kicked me, threw me out of the house, slammed the door and locked it. And I think I went and got my mom, who was outside at the barn at the time. And so me and my mom came back to the house, and I'm just like, you know, in the like probably weeping and terrified and angry and all this. And I remember my mom was trying to sort out like what the heck happened, you know. And so she like confronted my dad, and I'm there too. And she's like, "What is, like, what happened? What's going on?" And I just looked at him, and I just like cussed him out, and he was like, "I hate you." And I just ran up to my bedroom, and I don't remember this like in that memory, but in the God encounter, I saw myself as that, we'll just call it 10-year-old kid, just alone in my bedroom, just fuming mad at my dad. And just saying all this stuff like, "I hate him, I will never trust him again." And that was like the big thing that I just kept hearing and seeing, was like, I will never trust a word he says ever again. And and then this scene kind of changed in the God encounter, and I saw that same like 10-year-old me inside of this tent, and the tent was all zipped up, it was all closed up, and it was just pitch black inside the tent, and I was just all alone. The young me was all alone inside this tent. And then outside of the tent, I saw Mimi, grown up me, sitting by Yeshua at a campfire, and we were just talking. And as we were talking, I could just like, I was so distracted. I knew that young me was like behind us in this tent. And so I'm like trying to connect with Yeshua, but I'm also like mindful of what's going on behind me. And then the Lord started taking me back to like these different memories from my childhood. And it was like all these good memories from about my dad that I'd either like forgotten or just kind of like suppressed in a way. And just remembering how like he would play catch with me and my brother all the time. Like he would always play with us, and he would like get on his knees and wrestle us when we were young kids. And I just remember like laughing with him and just like playing with him and just like having conversations with him, honestly. Like if I would catch him at the right time when he like wasn't angry, like it was always nice. Like his eyes would just be different, and it was like he would see me and hear me. And then I felt like the Lord told me, like, all the good things that you remember about your dad, like, that's who I am as a father. None of the bad and all of the good times a million. And that's me. That's me as a father. And so I was just getting, like, really impacted by that. And then just really had this heart to, like, forgive my dad. And, like, I've definitely, like, forgiven him before in the past, but just coming to realize, like, how much of a process it really is, like, the process of forgiving and doing it over and over and over again. Yeah, I'm feeling like every time my heart just becomes more and more tenderized. And so, anyways, the scene goes back to the campsite, and I, like, reached into the tent where young me was, and I just reached in there and pulled him out, ripped him out, and he was just covered in, like, black gunk, like one of those ducks from the BP oil spill back in the day, just, like, covered in gross stuff. And I could just, like, feel all the, like, hatred and anger and just shame, like, radiating off of him. And then I saw Yeshua, who was just, like, this big light, just, like, wrap him up and embrace him. And then I started, like, praying over him. And we're just, like, washing all this crap off of him. Excuse me. And as it was all washing off him, he just started weeping. And just felt like all this stuff was loosing off of him. And it was like, I knew that we were supposed to integrate, that we, like, needed to become whole. But I also, like, knew or just sensed that, like, I had to talk with him first. And so I did, and I was just, like, kind of having this back and forth and this dialogue. And I was like, dude, healing and forgiveness is, like, it's so rich, it's so powerful, and it's so, like, readily available. And I was like, dude, I'm friends with Dad now. Like, as crazy as that sounds, like, this is possible for you. You don't have to live in this. And so, of course, he wanted to integrate and, like, become whole. And so we did this little, like swirl. Like, Yeshua just prayed over us, and we did the swirl and became one. And then I felt like we were supposed to burn down that tent that young me was in. And so I turned around and grabbed a torch and lit it from the campfire, and then went and burned the tent down. And as I was doing that, I looked on the side of the tent, and it had the word orphan, like, graffitied on it. And so I burnt the tent down, and as it was burning down, like, all these bats and just nasty black flying birds flew out of it. And it was like, I just knew the right words to pray. I don't know how to explain it. It was just like the words were there to take authority over everything that was just flying. And yeah. And so it all just flew away. And then I saw like the image of the bedroom that I'd made all those, like, vows in as a 10-year-old. And I knew that I was supposed to break all those inner vows. And so I just went through everyone and broke all those inner vows. And then I saw this, like, pterodactyl looking thing, this, like, big black demonic looking bird. And I just, like, knew that that was the demon that was responsible, or was, like, commissioned to feed me all these lies and accusations and things to, like, partner with and agree with about, like, my dad and about whatever, just, like, feeding me hatred and anger. And I, like, partnered with it. And so I took authority over it and, like, commanded it to go. And it just left, like that, like, right away. It was just out of there. And I remember thinking, like, dang, dude, I know that I'm imagining this, but that seemed, like, way too easy. And then when I thought that, I had the thought, like, oh, that's because I'm fasting. And then I thought of that scripture where Jesus is telling the disciples, like, these kinds of demons can only be driven out through prayer and fasting. And so I felt like he had given me, like, a certain authority over that demon through the power of the fast that he called me into. And so I just thought that was really cool. Like, man, he invited me into this to do this because he knew, like, that had to happen. And he knew the only way for that to happen was for me to fast. So he called me into it. It was just, I don't know, it was just really cool. And so, yeah, that was the God encounter on Wednesday. It was really, really powerful. And then Wednesday night, when I went to bed, I woke up in the middle of the night, Wednesday night, and it was like 2 a.m, and I shot up, which I don't ever remember doing this, like shooting up out of bed from a dream. But the thing is, it didn't feel like a dream. It felt so real. And what it was I swear there was this snake. I saw this snake, like, coming at my head, and I shot up out of bed, and I'm, like, freaking out, and I just start, like, looking. I was convinced. It felt so real. I thought there was a snake in the bed, and I'm just looking around, and now Siggy's freaking out because she hears me. I'm like, there's a snake in the bed. She's like, what? And so I, like, got up out of bed, turn all the lights on. I'm like looking, I have my phone flashlight, I'm looking under the bed, I'm looking through all the covers, and then like it's 2 a.m. and I'm like, I don't know. But a little bit of logic seeped in after a while, and I was like, well, it's February in Minnesota and we're on the 3rd floor, so there's probably not a snake in our bed. But still, despite all the logic and reasoning, I was like, dude, I'm not trying to get back in that bed. Like, I was terrified. Like, I just had a blanket of fear over me, and I didn't want to get back in the bed and fall asleep. So eventually I did, and Siggy was like, we need to pray. Like, we should pray. And I'm so tired and out of it and hungry, and the only thing I could pray was like, God, I just take authority over fear in Jesus' name. Amen. And then did fall asleep, and right away, well, I don't know if it was right away, who knows, whatever, but I had this dream that I'm sitting in my parents' living room, the house that I grew up in, and I'm sitting in my dad's recliner, and this snake, not like on the ground, crawling around, slithering, but like in air, like came around the corner and was like eye level with me, was like coming towards me. And it was just like instinctual in the dream. I just grabbed the snake and grabbed it with both hands, and I just ripped it in half, and then I ripped its head off, and I just like put it all in a pile. And it's, I don't really understand all of it, but I put it all in a pile, and I was like, I told Siggy in the dream, I was like, okay, we need to wait for your dad to get here so he can take a look at this. And I kind of, the only like interpretation that we have on that is like thinking it's just something generational, that I was sitting in my dad's chair in my parents' house, and that her dad, like I was mindful of, there was something with her dad in the dream as well. And so anyways, but I woke up Thursday morning then, and I just felt like light, just felt like this weight had come off of me. And I was like, dang, dude, I legit think I just got delivered in my sleep last night. Like, I don't think that's ever happened before. And yeah, it was crazy. And another thing about that night, when I shot up out of bed, so I have my alarm clock in our room, and I usually have it like face down on my nightstand because I don't like the light that like comes out of it. So I usually have it face down, but the night before, when I was going to bed, I kept it face up just because I was like so tired, I just forgot to put it face down. And so when I shot up out of bed, there was a split second where I like looked back, and it was, and I noticed that it was 2:22 on the alarm clock. That's the time it was. And then the next day, Thursday, I reached for my phone in the afternoon, and I grabbed it, picked it up, and of course it was 2:22. I'm like, dude, what the heck? 2:22. And 22, of course, is like my number. And yours too, Kelly, if you're watching this. Hello. So I'm like, what the heck, dude? So I start Googling like 2:22, Strong's Concordance, 2:22, biblical meaning, all that. And I looked it up on YouTube, and the first thing that popped up was a video. It was like 2:22, biblical meaning, and the guy's name was Troy, the guy who made this video. I was like, dude, what the heck? And so I watched the video, and he just went into different things, and nothing really like grabbed me, nothing really stood out. So I'm still praying about it, and 2:22, February 22nd is coming up, so I don't know, maybe something's gonna happen. That's crazy. But yeah, anyways, so that was all that, like all that deliverance and everything. And it's the thing with the snake that I think is so wild and significant. Rhonda, I don't know if you're watching this right now. Hello to you if you are. But just that word that you gave, that warning that you gave to me and Siggy before we left, it was like when Elul was starting. I think it was like the first or second day of Elul, and it was our last day on the farm. and you had a word for us that you like heard a rattlesnake under our table, and that there was like an assignment, like a rattlesnake assignment that was coming against us from the enemy in Minnesota. And so before I had quit my job, like months ago, before I really spiraled into like a really dark place, we were sitting at dinner one night, me and Siggy were just sitting at the table, and we have an Amazon Alexa, which is like a smart speaker, you know, like you can go like, "Hey Alexa," and I'm like, "What's the weather in Kentucky?" or whatever you want to do with your life. But you always have to like say, "Hey Alexa," to like wake her up, and then she'll like accept a command. But we weren't even talking to her. I don't even think we were like saying anything to each other at the time. And out of nowhere, she goes, "Okay, here's a sound a rattlesnake makes." And we're like, "What the heck, dude?" Like, just goosebumps, hair standing up on the back of my neck. Like, "What the heck, dude?" And so we just like prayed, and I think we just like sang a bunch of songs and prayed and did everything we like knew to do. And then just kind of moved on. But like, I think it was a week or two later that I ended up quitting the job, and like that's when things just went super south. And I was just like in this really dark, dark place. And I think now looking back and like processing it, and I said this to Siggy even before we like came to the farm, and I told like Ed and Suzanne this. I was like, "Man, I know that I'm on the other." So before like this encounter that I just talked about, I would say this, like, "I know that I'm on the other side. I felt like I like kind of fought my way out of like that dark place that I was in, like just pure hopelessness and despair, but I don't feel like freedom necessarily. Like there still feels like there's just something." And I was like, "I just want to feel free. I want to like release from that." And so, like, that was, yeah. And so, I really feel like this encounter and that deliverance was just that. It was like that. Yeah, just the tearing the snake apart, killing the snake. And then Ed said something. We were talking on the phone, and I was sharing this encounter with him. And he started talking about, like, rattlesnake venom. He was like, "You know, when a rattlesnake like digs its fangs into you and releases its venom, it like attacks your nervous system, and your whole body, your whole nervous system shuts down." And he was saying like, that's where I was, like in my dark place. I was so shut down, and I was just like full of this venom. And as soon as he said venom, I just like knew. I was like, "Oh man, that's what, like, that's part of this fast too. Like, I've been cleansing out, the Lord has been flushing out all the venom and all the crap." And it was like, we killed the snake and flushed the venom. And like, that is the deliverance and the freedom. And so, yeah. So, that's a lot. I don't even know where to take it from there. I feel like I'm kind of missing something too. I don't know. But, oh yeah. So, just like, as I've been processing the God encounter too, I just think it's so wild, like, connecting just that part, that like dissociated part of me that was clearly Sheol, like in that dark tent, and how like just going back to those two traumatic memories, how like the thing behind it was that my dad promised me something. Like, he made a promise that he would never like hurt me again, and then he broke that promise. And then because of that, I made all these inner vows and was so like angry and enraged at him. And just seeing the parallel between that and what happened with like the job situation, because I got so offended when I felt like I needed to quit. I became so offended, and I was like, "Dude, you gave me all these words, you gave me all these like dreams and words and signs and wonders." And I was like, "Man, I tried to like lay it down and surrender it, and I like really tried to be obedient. And I like landed on this place where I was like, dude, I just can't trust you. Like, I can't trust you. If I can't trust the things that you're speaking to me, then like, I don't want anything to do with you. How, you're not a good father." And just like landed on that place in my heart. And now looking back and just seeing like the parallels between that is just wild. And so Yeah, it's wild. I feel like now on the other side of this, I really feel like the Lord is obviously desiring to encounter me as a father, and like I'm really learning to like trust him as a father, which I don't think you realize. I've been thinking about this, and it's like I don't think you really realize that you're that you have like an orphan mindset, because it's just so normal to you. You just grow up with it and it becomes your norm. And so I never thought that I was actively not trusting the Father, because I never even knew what it meant to trust a father. Like most of my life, I just didn't trust a father. So I didn't know what it meant to put my trust in a father. And so I feel like the Lord is just like teaching me how to do that. And I think right now, just in the season that me and Sadie are in and that I'm in, like looking for a job now and just really like living with an open hand, like, Lord, what do you have for us? I feel like it's just an opportunity in real time to like put my trust in him as a father and like choose to do that, choose to trust him as a father and just see what he does. And so it's a little scary, but it's really exciting, honestly. And so, yeah, if you guys feel led to just pray for us, that's definitely something that we could use prayer for, is just direction going forward.